The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
Wow. I guess I should have seen this coming. One of our listeners just sent me an article out of the Washington Times. And before I read you the article, can I repeat something that I've been saying repeatedly for several days now? You can never appease the radicals. It is never enough. Never, ever, ever enough. You give in. It's never enough. You give in a little more. You think that they will be happy. They'll be satisfied. Never. You never can appease the radical left. The far radical right either, you can't appease them either, but particularly the far radical left. And let me repeat what I have said for years. The radical left destroys everything it touches. So the racial discussion that we're having right now is being driven by the far radical left. Now, if my point is true, that everything the radical left touches, it destroys, it kills. If the current civil rights movement in America is being controlled primarily by the radical left, then what's going to happen to the civil rights movement? It's going to be killed. The radical left kills everything it touches. Police reform. Police reform is being driven by the far radical left. So what's it going to do? Kill the relations between people and everything the far radical progressive left touches, it kills. And that's why, now I'm not going to go there. All right, I've said enough on that. Let me get to this story. Do you recognize the name Sean King? S-H-A-U-N, Sean King. He is a civil rights activist, far, far left, very involved with Black Lives Matters. Pardon me, Black Lives Matter. I keep adding the S on the Black Lives Matter. He is very, very involved in promoting the movement Black Lives Matter. Well, he was asked a couple of days ago, and I just saw this today because one of our listeners sent it to me, was asked recently in an interview, are images of Jesus a form of white supremacy? Because often the images of Jesus show a fairly white Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus was Jewish. His skin color could have been fairly dark. It could have been. Might not have been. We don't know. Some Hebrews are darker in skin color. Others are lighter. So we're not sure the skin color of Jesus. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But anyway, Sean King was asked, do these images of Jesus bother you? Should they come down? You ready for this? Let me quote. Yes, Mr. King said, regarding his support for tearing down images of Christ, quote, all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They are, I'm quoting, they are a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. There you go, folks. One of the leaders of Black Lives Matter says all images of Jesus have got to come down. Statues, murals, stained glass windows. Can I quote this again? Of white Jesus and his European mother and their white friends should also come down. They are a gross form of white supremacy created as tools of oppression, racist propaganda. They should all come down. Then he went on. Yes, I think the statues of the white European they claim as Jesus should also come down. They're a form of white supremacy. Always have been. In the Bible, when the family of Jesus wanted to hide and blend in, guess where they went? Egypt. Not Denmark. Tear them down. So after they're done with Christopher Columbus and Ulysses S. Grant and Winston Churchill, they're coming after Jesus. Now you say, well, that will never happen. Really? I think back around 20 years ago when the seeker-friendly movement happened in the evangelical church. Yeah. Started by Bill Hybels and others, the seeker-friendly movement. The seeker-friendly movement said, you know, crosses are kind of offensive. People don't understand the cross, and we don't want anybody to be offended when they want to come into our churches because we have to be seeker-friendly. So not everyone, certainly not everyone, but many in the seeker-friendly movement began saying, we need to take down the crosses. They're offensive. And guess what? So as to not be offensive, many churches that called themselves evangelical churches removed every picture, every sign, any semblance of a cross from their building, their property, inside, outside, so as to not offend. So is it too much of a reach for that same philosophy? Well, you know, and now, hey, let me make something clear. I'm not a real big fan of the pictures of Jesus because we don't know what he looked like. We really don't. And some of the pictures portray Jesus as very effeminate. That's always kind of bothered me. But they're okay. Many people find great comfort in a picture of Jesus. They don't pray to the picture, at least they certainly shouldn't, but they find great comfort. I grew up with an entire generation of people who have found comfort in what was called the Solomon's Head of Christ. Probably the most famous painting of Jesus that was ever painted. Many churches have stained glass, and it's a portrayal of Jesus. I don't have any problem with that, as long as it's not worshipped in any way. You never appease the radicals. It's never enough. And for those of you who question just how radical the Black Lives Matter movement, I'm not talking about the phrase. I'm talking about the movement. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. BlackLivesMatter.com. You want to know how radical they are? The next is any depiction of Jesus. Yep, that's coming down too.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
I was going to do a little segment on the Barbary Pirates. I don't have time today, but in dealing with, there's a lot of talk about reparations now. In fact, Christianity Today is suggesting that evangelical churches pay reparations to black members of their church and black members of the community. I am a firm opponent of reparations, simply because it's impossible to do it fairly. I mean, it's impossible. How do you find out who are the direct descendants of slaves and people who came from other, and how much? And I think it's absolutely unbiblical. Giving people something for nothing other than salvation is not a biblical concept. Earning is a biblical concept. But anyway, I am a firm opponent of reparations, ultimately because it would do more harm than good. It would not unite us. It would divide us. But we even have Christianity Today calling for reparations, which almost nothing shocks me out of Christianity Today. They have drifted far, far, far to the left, and it's really sad. But if you're going to talk reparations, let me give you a little homework assignment, and then I'm going to give you a final story today. Here's a little homework assignment for you. Look up the Barbary Pirates and Slavery. Barbary, Pirates, and Slavery. Now, it's amazing this is not taught, but almost all of the slaves that were captured and sold by the Barbary Pirates were white Europeans. And the Barbary Pirates were darker-skinned Arab Muslims. Now, how serious was it? Well, it depends on who you believe. Probably the most authoritative source on the numbers of people that were involved was a professor at The Ohio State University who did research a few years ago. And according to his figures, somewhere between 800,000 and 1.5 million white Europeans were bought and sold as slaves by the Barbary Pirates. How many Africans were brought to America as slaves? The estimates are about 600,000. Terrible, horrible, awful. And by the way, by pointing you to studying about the Barbary Pirates is not in any way to diminish the horror of Africans being brought to America. It just helps put things into perspective. Plus, the Democrats in the Senate wore the Kente Clause. And they did the photo op. You know, they all criticized Trump for holding a Bible and a photo op. Well, they went into one of the hallways of Congress and knelt for 8 minutes with their Kente Clause around their neck to show solidarity with George Floyd. And, you know, do you know where the Kente Clause came from? They were worn by slave traders. No, it's true. USA Today did a fact check. Yeah, a fact. USA Today, not exactly your radical right-wing paper. They did a fact check, and indeed, the Kente Clause worn by the Democrats came from black slave traders. You see, what the Americans did in buying and selling slaves was horrific and inexcusable. But we often forget that it was not possible at all without black Africans capturing the slaves and selling them to the European slave traders. When you get into this thing of slavery, folks, it's not as simple as it seems on the surface. And there is enough blame to go around. And that's why we've got to get past the blame. What white Americans and white Europeans did to Africans was horrific. It was evil. It was demonic. But they were captured for the most part and sold for the most part by black Africans. And then when you look and expand the whole thing of slavery, how many Americans realize that there were as many, possibly more, white slaves sold by the Muslim Arabs as there were Africans sold in America? How many people know that? So your homework, if you like, do a little research. It's easy on the internet. The Barbary, B-A-R-B-A-R-Y, Pirates. Yeah, check it out. Hey, some good news to end. The several dioceses in South Carolina broke away from the Episcopal denomination. Well, as is usual with these liberal mainline Protestant denominations, they said, we don't care about the people. Take all the people you want. We want the buildings. We want the money. And so the Episcopal Church sued these dioceses. It went all the way to the South Carolina Supreme Court. The South Carolina Supreme Court ruled in favor of the Episcopal Church. But on Friday, a federal judge overruled the state Supreme Court and said these churches can keep their buildings. It'll be interesting to watch that, but that's good news. Have a great evening, but please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.